You're listening to SBS News.
Hello and welcome to another special CEO series of the On the Money Markets podcast for this Friday, the 30th of August. I'm Raina Bosch, filling in for Ricardo Gonsalves. Well, the ASX has outperformed to be up 0.6% for the day. It's also up for the week and for the month with gains of 1.7%. That's in spite of the global sell-off at the start of August. Those results were helped higher by some strong corporate reporting, though the bag has been largely mixed overall. Today, Telco TPG, which announced 120 job cuts, and Australia Post, the company again called out its struggling letters business for its $88.5 million loss, though it says that would have been worse if not for the strength of its parcels, which delivered over $7 billion in revenue and a 30-cent increase in postage prices earlier this year. The result, still an improvement on last year's $200 million loss. For more, Raina Sarimpayat spoke with Australia Post CEO Paul Graham.
No, look, letters are in continual decline. We've seen almost a 13% drop in letter volumes over the prior year. We're actually at a letter volume now that is in the 19, we haven't seen since the 1950s. So that shows you how much it's declining. And obviously in that time frame, we've increased the population of Australia threefold. So we're back to the 1950s when it comes to letter volumes. And that remains a key challenge for us. But we will deliver the last letter that gets delivered in this country. What we are seeing is obviously a continued growth in our parcel business and also us continuing to drive efficiencies that we can within our own business.
The other problem is over-the-counter transactions and hence visits falling in favour of online use.
That's correct. I mean, we're no different to many bricks and mortar retailers. We are seeing a change in customer behaviour, less transactions over the counter, less bill pay, more of those going digital, and customers simply just looking at those services and buying those products online.
You're saying today that you see a clear oversupply of post offices in metropolitan areas. How many would you like to see closed?
Well, we don't have a specific number. We continue to reflect the needs of those individual communities. We're very clear that we have a 4,000 commitment as part of our regulatory framework, 2,500 of those in regional, rural and remote Australia, and we're very committed to that. But yes, we do see a significant oversupply in some areas, and we're working through the community needs to reflect that in the future network.
Now, looking at banking services, your warning of losses in the medium term for Bank at Post, which is the agency working on behalf of dozens of financial institutions, why is it doing so badly?
Well, we've got 81 financial institutions that we service, including the big three banks. The only outlier to that is ANZ. We have seen significant ongoing changes in relation to the services we provide, increased compliance, increased cost of technology, increased investments in security, and also the provision of cash. We're seeing small businesses use Australia Post to come in and get their cash floats for their coffee business or their hairdressers, and we didn't anticipate these level of services when those agreements were first put in place.
Well, for some months, you've been calling for urgent funding from the major banks for your long-term sustainability. Any progress there?
Look, we continue to work with the banks in good faith. We think that they recognise the important role we jointly play in servicing communities with the provision of banking services and particularly cash. And we are hopeful that we will reach a good commercial agreement that reflects their needs, reflects the needs that Australia Post has from a financial position, but more importantly, continues to provide those services to those communities that need them.
There's this idea of the re-establishment of a publicly owned bank. This coming from a Senate committee focused on the regions. If that happened, where would it leave Bank at Post?
Well, we're committed to our existing Bank at Post services. We believe that our core role is in those over-the-counter transactional services across the branch network that we have, the more than 4,000 post offices across the nation. That's what we're focused on, delivering those services, doing it safely, and making sure we meet the needs of our customers.
You spoke today of what you called irreversible challenges facing Australia Post. That's strong language. Which are the worst?
Well, the declining mail business, I mean, that's not going to come back. It's inevitable that we will reach a day where there will be no mail. And obviously, we have a $447 million community service obligation where we are committed by law to delivering a universal mail service at a universal price. So that remains a significant burden on Australia Post. However, we are pleased that having worked with the government on reform, that we are seeing some flexibility in how we deliver that mail. The average household receives less than two letters a week, but that will continue to be a drag on us. But we continue to focus on our opportunities, which is our growing parcel business, as well as other services that we can provide through our network.
at some stage you'd like to make a profit. So deliveries are already less frequent. Would you make them less frequent still?
Look, I think that's inevitable. I mean, if we continue to see 12% decline year on year, to say we're now delivering the same amount of mail we delivered in the 1950s, I think a change in delivery frequency is inevitable. Our customers have not noticed any difference because the average household just does not receive that much mail. But it's also the things that we can do in our business to drive efficiency, continue to simplify our portfolio of services, and invest in technology in our network to continue to serve our customers and be the most efficient provider of choice.
So in terms of policy, what should be happening that isn't happening now?
We're very positive around the reform that we have got from the government, and we thank them for that, and also working with our other stakeholders like our union partners. We've got enough on our plate for the short-term future to get on with, but as the continued decline in mail happens, and as we've seen in other geographies around the world, we will need to continue to alter our network to take that into account and to then move those resources into delivering more and more parcels, which is where the growth area is for us. We see that business doubling in the next 10 years. We're a key player, but we must continue to invest to retain that market share.
That was Raina Sarimpayat speaking with Australia Post CEO Paul Graham. Elsewhere today, retail sales data dropped for the month of July. US GDP rose to 3% annually, plus the Aussie on a near 4% August rally. For more, I spoke with Diane College. She's a client advisor at Morgan's.
Well, I think it's actually a relief rally when you think about it. Our market was holding its breath to see how the US market was going to digest the NVIDIA result last night. And it was, you know, if it was smashed down, I think we would have a very negative day today. But it was sort of received quite well. So therefore, the NVIDIA price itself didn't fall that much. We've also seen some positive momentum out of the materials sector on the back of better commodity prices, and that's also lifting the market. And finally, we've had, as you've correctly talked about before, a finalisation of the reporting season. So we had a couple of good results out today, and that's sort of pushing the market higher as well.
Yeah, taking a step back from today's results and looking at the ASX more recently, it seems to have recovered from the global sell-off earlier this month, at least on a monthly basis. Do you expect that momentum to continue?
Interesting question. I think there's two answers to that. I feel that the market will continue to edge upwards as we're anticipating the US market will react positively to the strongly anticipated Fed rate cuts. Therefore, our market will follow suit. However, we've also got a lot of the stocks domestically going ex-dividend, and sometimes that puts downward pressure on stock prices. So it's a bit of a mixed bag, and plus you've got a bit of portfolio rebalancing post the results. So, you know, people are moving money around on the back of what they were told from the underlying companies in this results season.
Yeah, speaking to reporting season, I mean, obviously we're at the back end now. What were some of the main trends that you've identified?
Well, I think it was a very mixed picture, and I'm sure you've heard that from a lot of people you've spoken to throughout the month of August. But we've seen some downgrades to across the broad medium of FY25 earnings, probably around about 2.5%, suggesting a market is generally softening. And that's obviously on the back of the interest rate cycle and the cost of living crisis that we hear about on a regular basis. It does paint a mixed picture for the rest of the year. However, if you're one of the big box retailers, or, you know, you've got a large moat in the area that you operate in, you've actually performed quite well and you've actually outperformed the market. We've seen a lot of the tech stocks perform well, such as WiseTech, Hub, 360, REA. And you've also seen the large caps outperform the small caps. We haven't had too many sort of big moves, if you like, but if you did disappoint, you were punished. But then on the flip side, if you were able to generate very solid earnings from a great management team and have a very strong balance sheet, you were definitely rewarded by the market. And I think the key sort of message to investors is that you should be buying the winners and, you know, offloading those ones that haven't performed or have a very weak outlook statement.
Retail sales data also came out today, and speaking of weakness, there was a bit of a flatlining there. What does this say about the consumer, about the economy more broadly, and how do you picture the RBA interpreting it?
Right. Well, the retail sales themselves, the numbers were actually quite flat. And that is probably seen as a good sign by the RBA, because there was concern that people would be out there spending those tax cuts that we recently received in July, but it doesn't seem to have eventuated. What we're looking at that could be interesting for the next couple of months is the fact that the Australian dollar has leapt 3.9% in August, and that's to a high of 68.23 against the US dollar last night. And that could start to bite retailers' margins and pricing and in the months to come. And therefore, that possibly could translate into higher prices and therefore continue to have that higher level of inflation that the RBA doesn't want to see before it starts cutting rates and following the US market.
Yeah, that does very much speak to the picture that came out of the US last night with its GDP figures being released. Signs of resilience there. What are the implications of this, if any?
Well, I think the whole market, particularly in the US, is focused on two things. First thing is obviously interest rate cuts and how many and how quickly are they going to come through. And secondly, obviously the election, which is coming up in November. And I'm sure you'll hear a lot more around that as we start to see the peak of electioneering by both parties in the US. But when it comes to interest rates, the Fed has signaled that they will be cutting rates in the shorter term as early as September. A lot of market participants are expecting. And therefore, you know, if we see that come through, that's going to be very good for the US economy. And dependent on how many more rate cuts we see post-September is how the economy will actually strengthen on the back of that.
Finally, Diane, where are you seeing the opportunities for investors at the moment?
I think what we're looking at post-reporting season is obviously the dividend stocks. There's a lot of, all ASX companies that have declared dividends will start paying those in September, October. And if you want access to that income to come through, plus all important franking credits, you need to buy those stocks now. So BHP is a great example of a stock that's going to pay a very good dividend in the very short term. And Woolworths surprisingly came out with a special dividend as well as their ordinary dividend. So again, that's a great place to generate income for clients.
That was Diane College, Client Advisor at Morgans.